Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 1st. I can't even believe it's May 1st already. And I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years worth of archives. Speaking of the podcast, so we're all updated, and I've delegated the uploading of them. So I was 2 weeks behind up until this week. I hadn't had a chance to put them up, and so they are all up there. And I did meet a couple people at convention that, you know, I always mention that we have there's a bunch of you guys that listen to this thing you know, not during the live stuff, but listen to the recording. But those of you that are on here live, I love having you on live. It makes the discussions way more livelier, and they're just good conversations at that point. But I know that time-wise, sometimes it's inconvenient, and so I love having knowing that you guys are out there listening to this and finding value in it, and I really appreciate hearing from you and meeting you. So when I get a chance, so. Anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned these last couple weeks that is that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anything?
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
So with well water.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because it is all about chemistry. Is there a rule of when you adjust the pH in well water? Is there a line? Is it 7? Is it 6.5? Is it 6.8? Is it depending on like other parameters of the water?
I mean, wow. So in my experience, Scott. Yes, it definitely depends on the other parameters in the water. In general, if you're not dealing with anything major, you know, super problematic. I mean, remember, the pH scale is a logarithmic scale, and so while somebody may say a pH of 6 is not that much less than a pH of 7, it's actually 10 times more acidic than a pH of 7. So, in general, I usually look for water to be somewhere in the 6.5 to 7.5 or even 7.8 range. Below that, you are going to start potentially to get some corrosion issues if you're below 6.5. Now, that can also and you can also remember get corrosion when you're high on the pH scale as well. Where that does become a factor, I mean, pH can definitely be a clue for the type of iron that you have in the water or manganese. The lower the pH, the more likely it is to be in its ferrous or clear water form. The higher the pH, the more likely you are to have some level of oxidized iron, for example, in the water. It can also have an impact on the capacity of media, such as arsenic media and those types of things. So it is dependent on the types of things you're trying to treat. And the other things in the water, but generally for just a basic rule of thumb from my experience, and other people may have different opinions on this, 6.5 to 7.5 is kind of the range where you want to be. A lot of it does still have to do with things like, you know, alkalinity is, while pH is part of alkalinity, alkalinity is a measurement that determines how easily adjusted the pH is. And so alkalinity may be, you know, a factor in when you adjust the pH or you add things. I mean, might be kind of interesting to have a pool, you know, a hot tub or pool and spa guy on, you know, to talk about these things, because I sometimes feel like at least on the pH side of it, they understand alkalinity and chlorine and pH and all that stuff a lot better than a lot of us here in the industry do. What are you running into?
Well, just making sure, you know, that's always what I've researched and what I've heard is above 6.5, you should be fine. And it's mainly when we run into iron, whether it's ferrous or ferric, and it's, you know, 6.5 to 6.8 of having the conversation of, like, this should work. However, because you're right on that range, there's a possibility of having bleed through where we'll oxidize most of the iron, not all of it. Really, the right way to do it would be to adjust the pH on the front end to make sure that when we oxidize everything. Just making sure I'm having that correct conversation on the front end.
You're putting an AIO in at that point.
Correct. Like an air induction system.
Yep. The air injected. Yep. So, you know, one of the sure ways to see if a softener is going to do it, Scott, is to simply run it through a little mini softener. I don't know if you guys do that or not, but that's a lot of people, you know, they see those demo kits, the water test kits, and they feel like that demo softener is there for, you know, to shake soap flask. And it is. You can use it to create soft water and show the benefits of soft water and, you know, through some of the sales strategies. But that the thing can become a practical testing tool as well. If you've got iron in the water and you're uncertain, and simply run the water through that little mini water softener and retest the iron. If it pulls all the iron out, the big thing is going to do it. The big softener is definitely going to do it. You know, so, by the way, speaking of which, when it comes to iron and iron fouling and stuff like that on a softener, there was a really interesting session that we went to at WQA this week, or last week, a guy from Morton Salt put it on, and he's actually, we're putting it on the schedule. He's going to be a guest speaker coming up here in a couple weeks, and one of the things they talked about is some of the experimentation they did on iron, the type of salt, iron, you know, using the iron out salt or the regular salt, and its percentages, you know, what it did to the efficiency of resin and stuff like that. It was really kind of interesting stuff. So we also have scheduled, I think it's on the 16th, so 2 weeks from today, the immediate past president of WQA will be joining us as well. So we do that every year after the change of guard. We've been honored to have the immediate past president, so that'll be a fun conversation as well. But I don't know if that answered your question or not.
It did. Thank you.
Perfect. Anybody else? So wanted to just have a conversation today. We were talking about WOW service with a couple of the sales professionals that I was talking to, and you know, basically things that make your customer go, wow. And not in a bad way, right? Because sometimes there's certain things you can do that make your customer go, wow, right? There's a big difference between wow and wow, you know? So we're looking, I just wanted to kind of have a conversation about what we can do to make those customers sort of blown away by in a positive way, you know? And it's been a while since we've talked about this, but basically, you know, there are things that you know, I'll ask people. And, well, let me ask you guys. What is the one or two things that you do? And Scott, I can ask you, and those of Doug, you know, those of you guys that are on here, what do you do that sets you apart from your customers, that makes them, in your opinion, you know, when you leave, that makes them go, wow, that was really cool. You know, whether it's on the install or the equipment or your sales, you know, your sales presentation. I mean, what is it that makes them go, wow?
Kelly, hey, it's Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, it's been a while. Welcome.
I know. Thanks. I love this Thursday morning call. We do a couple of things. I guess it boils down to great communication. So, you know, we communicate effectively, clarifying everything and often, And right now we use Service Titan. We are switching to House Call Pro within the month. But you know, clients get a picture of the technicians when they're on their way. And it's not only a picture, but we also use the seal. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the seal. It's a third party. Badge that all of my guys wear. And the picture that comes up to the client is a picture of their badge and with a QR code, and they can scan and see our updated insurance, the technician's updated background check, my plumbing license, you know, all those things come right up. So they have this like secure feeling of they know who's coming into their house. And we background check every year, not just upon hiring. So we tell the people, you know, the clients that, you know, who's coming to their house has an annual background check. We don't, you know, we don't hire any chuck in a truck, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of great communication, not overly communicating, but you know, just good communication. And then when they show up at the house, they're wearing shoe covers. And if it's an installation, they're laying floor covering down. And just like that respectfulness of the client's home.
That's fantastic. That actually fits directly into what I will describe here in a little bit of what I would consider wow. I mean, you actually heard me say it. I was like, wow, because it made me go wow. Very, very good. That's excellent. Top that, you guys. Who else has it? What do you guys do that makes your customer? And Catherine, that's fantastic. I love it. That's, we'll talk about why that is you know, so good here in a minute when I kind of give my opinion of what make, you know, what we should consider wild service. But that's excellent. That definitely falls in. What do you guys think? What else are you doing that is that makes your customers sort of blown away? Everybody's scared. You set the bar, Catherine. So here's what I think, you guys, and I am curious about your opinion, because I know that we all sort of do that, those types of things, and you know, yeah, Kelly just put you on the spot. Nice. There are things that we do, you know, like we talked about being punctual a couple weeks ago, you know, and communication is huge, right? Making the phone call. Letting people know what we're doing, putting booties on or taking our shoes off when we go on the sales call, or laying the floor stuff down. All of those things are excellent. But one of the things that I want to remind everybody is that if your competitors are doing the same things, if they are, look, not everybody's going to, right? They're within an area, you know, if you've got, let's say, 10 companies that sell water treatment, they're going to be, a few of them are going to be those chucking the trucks, as you mentioned, Catherine. You know, there's going to be some of them out there that are just low priced and they're not offering the communication. And I don't know, it's always amazing to me that they still get business, you know, but they do, which tells me there's plenty of business out there for us all. You know, there's certainly people out there that do, you know, they get their share of the market. And we, you know, that we all have opinions of some of those individuals and stuff like that. But there are, let's say that out of 10 different, you know, water treatment dealers, people that sell water treatment, there might be three or four maybe that do the right things. You know, they're calling customers. They're, you know, they have good equipment. They've got good service. They're taking their shoes off when they go to the house or laying down the runners or the booties, or they're on time. You know, remember that as you're looking at what makes the customer go wow, if your competitors are doing the same things that you're doing, that's not wow service. While it's good and it's important to do those things, and it does set you apart from the chucking and trucks, it's not wow service at that point. It's average service. It's the same thing that everybody else is doing. You know, so what we need to look for, in addition to doing all of those best practices, what we should be looking for are ways that we can leave an impression with the customer that is still in addition to those other best practices. I don't know that I have ever run across any other company out there that talks about what you're doing. I mean, there's probably people out there, Catherine, that does that, but to put it out there and to, you know, to be so proud of the technicians that you have and making sure that they're trusted enough to come into people's houses, that's wow. That's pretty spectacular.
And it costs money. I mean, it does cost money. Like the different products we use to wow the client, of course it's going to cost the company money.
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, who pays for that? The customer.
Right.
So that just gets incorporated into our price. But another thing we do is we remorning, not long, 10 minutes. And then once a week, I mean, this is not something that the client sees, but they see the consequences of it. So we have 10-minute morning huddles, and then every other week we have a team meeting in the morning that lasts about an hour. And I remember when I started doing that, it was like maybe just coming out of COVID, you know, when everybody was back in the office. And I was like, oh, my gosh, keeping my guys in the office for an hour when they could all be collecting money at jobs.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I saw the benefit of just that morning huddle and that team meeting, you know, hashing things out. What's working, what's not working is the team meeting pretty much. But the morning huddle, we use Super Tech University, which is a online subscription to a program that teaches in-home service technicians soft skills. It teaches them about shoe covers, about respecting the home, about don't be, you know, be Paul the pro, not Chuck in the truck, and add on sales. And it's just thousands of videos that last about 3 minutes long, because sometimes when the boss is saying these things, it doesn't register, especially when the boss is a woman, because it's like mom telling them. But when another guy is telling them who's done it and been out in the field and knows what works and what doesn't work, it's a whole nother ball game. So it kind of hones in those skills for the technician.
You know, as a consultant, I've run across that. I've heard that conversation for, you know, decades where, I remember when my kids would go to school and then they come home and we, you know, sort of talk about the day and you go, my teacher said the most amazing thing today. It was brilliant. It was so awesome. And then really? What was it? You mean the same thing that I've been telling you for the last 10 years? You know, it does sound different when it comes from somebody that a total stranger, right? So, same thing. I think that you're right. I mean, there is a cost associated with those things. And we talked about that when we talked about, you know, the price and, you know, and selling. It's, if you're going to offer, this is why it is impossible to, you know, people buy on price, quality, and service, right? And it's impossible to do all three really well. You can try, you know, you can not gouge people. But if as you said, Catherine, there's a cost associated with the things that you're doing there and teaching them the respect and you know, the soft skills and making sure that the customers have the, you know, the best experience. I mean, they could certainly go somewhere else and get effective water treatment for less money, but they're not going to necessarily have a peace of mind, and they're certainly more likely to have service issues or service calls or you know, there is a cost associated with not doing that kind of training for your team as well. So, you know, I there's a couple other things that we talked about that you can do that are not as grandiose, and, you know, that really stand out. The one thing I want to make sure that everybody understands when we have this conversation is that there are best practices. There are things that we need to be doing. Choose being on time, communicating, call. Although I really love the communication and the sending the text messages and you know. What was that? Oh, but somebody popped in there. So I really love that, you know, that stuff. But even just basic phone calls, you know, letting them know when you're going to be on, you know, when you're going to be there on time, and or if you're going to be a couple minutes late. You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But there are little things that you can do. Scott, you know, and you've talked about your sales presentation and making sure that you do that demo, you know, the demonstration. That can give wow. You know, that can make your customers say, wow, because a lot of your competitors are not doing that stuff anymore, right? They're not making soap, you know, or the soap flask. I mean, how often when you guys still do that pretty regularly, and, I mean, you've kind of, from what I understand, Scott, I've never seen it, but you guys have this balance of being customer-centric while still educating the customer. So you're still doing things like the soap demonstration, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to education, and it goes back to building the value of why you want to do this.
How often do you hear a customer say "wow" the word "wow" after you do that?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Because when you can go in where everybody else, like I have competitors that won't even go out. They're just giving prices over the phone. And then I've got other competitors, well, they'll come into the house and they'll do a site evaluation and say, oh, okay, and they'll test the water. If your water's this hard, this is what you need. And then not really, like, you can say something or you can show something. And so to show that with the soap flask that you will use less detergent to do the glass wash, to show how easy it will be to clean the house, mm-hmm. to do the face cloth, to show what is trapped inside what you think is clean laundry. And like not only to educate those people who have never had a water softener, I like it even more when, you know, you come in, it's like, oh, I've already had one, I just need a price. Well, you know, I would be doing a disservice if I didn't show you, because a lot of times people buy water softeners for one specific reason, and they had no idea of everything else, that the value that you actually get out of it. And to have the wow of somebody that has had water softeners in every house for like two decades and did not realize all of the things that it actually did, that's where I like the wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there are things, even if you're not doing those things, even if you're testing the water, I remember, you know, I think back to some of the stuff that made me go wow when I first saw it, as, you know, even coming into the industry. One of the ones that is kind of a big deal is laying the towel down, you know, carrying two towels with your test kit, one inside that you can put your chemicals on and everything, but one on the outside of the test kit that you can lay down on the counter before you set your test kit on it, because, you know, this test kit, I got to credit Jen Smith for showing this to me years and years ago when she was first in one of our salespeople. But she laid the towel down and she said, I don't want to put that test kit on a place where I'm making my kids lunch. You know, the thing's been down in the stoop, the door stoop, and you know, down by the litter box and, you know, on the floor of the car, it's not been sanitized, you know, and you're taking this dirty test kit and putting it right. So I don't know if customers ever notice when you don't do that, but when you do it, I think it's those little things that can sometimes give that wow factor. You know, so even if you are starting out and maybe you don't have the resources to do what Catherine's talking about, which and Catherine, I'm sort of blown away by all that. That's pretty fantastic. But there are little things that you can do to build up to that. And I think, as Scott's saying, I mean, we cannot take for granted. It's a disservice to our customers, frankly, when we take for granted that they know everything about water. You know, it must be similar to the way doctors feel when somebody goes in and says, I've lived with this my whole life. I don't need you to diagnose me anymore. I don't need you to tell me what it is. I know what it is. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things that I love about my doctor is she's very thorough and very educational when it, you know, as when I'm talking to her. I mean, and I have had the conversation with her about how, you know, you have these online prescription places that pop up that, you know, they will diagnose over a Zoom meeting somebody that's never met you or done any kind of test, and then they send you scripts. I've never done any of them, don't need any of the prescriptions that I hear most commonly advertised for that, but I gotta imagine that's super frustrating to the doctors, the same way it would be frustrating for me to have a customer call up and say, I don't need you to come out and test the water. I know what I have. There are certainly companies that do that, but those aren't the ones giving the wow service. You know, they're not the ones that have an opportunity to sort of blow the customer away. But last couple minutes, any other thoughts on this?
Hey, Catherine, just for me, I think what you're doing is fantastic and above and beyond, and I absolutely love it. But for my resource and for the other people that will be listening to this later, what is the third-party company that you're using to do the scan and the background check? And then what is the service that you're using that you're sharing with your techs and your huddles?
So the third party is called The Seal, S-E-A-L. It's got a picture of a seal on it. And the owner has a really neat story because he worked in the service business. And he's like, there's got to be a way that we can let our clients know that our techs have our background checked. And they're like, no, there's no way. And then he developed a way. And he markets it to in-home service contractors. And he's got some really cool facts where, like, people were having their carpets cleaned and by criminals, but they didn't know it. And then their house was robbed later on. They're scoping out the house. You know, like, it's just like these crazy stories. So that's The Seal. It's really inexpensive. I have a team of 11, including me, 12, including me. It's like $100 a month. So it's really not expensive. Of course, the onboarding is a little bit more, and it takes about a month, but it's really inexpensive, you know, in the big scheme of things. And side note, The Seal sends a third party after the job is done. Hey, how'd we do? Give us a 5-star review if you like us.
Nice.
I'm paraphrasing that, but our Google reviews are almost at 500, and within a month they jumped up so high when we signed up for The Seal. Because we're not asking. Somebody else is asking. So that's that. Yeah. And then Super Tech University is a company that gears toward us, toward business owners, managers, technicians, in-home service people. And they have a lot of resources. Again, super affordable. And they have coaching for managers and owners. I'm doing the business development rep coaching, and right now myself and my dispatchers, my girls in the office, are doing the CSR coaching, and my technicians do the tech stuff. And it's like 3 to 5 minutes of video, and it's just some guy telling them the same stuff we've been telling them for years. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's excellent ideas. That's great. Thank you for that, Catherine. So happy to have you on. I love hearing when you pop on there. So, guys, stay tuned. We have tons of excellent guest speakers coming up in the next few weeks, and looking forward to that. And appreciate you guys logging back on. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. So, be safe, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day, guys.